We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Just one more week till things get going in the NFL draft. Happy to welcome in Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst on the Believe Podcast Network, joining us right now. How you been, Joe?
Good. I'm so excited that we're this close. I'm like getting antsy. I need the draft to be here already, but I know I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you. Yeah, and I kind of mentioned it to the folks. It's like kind of like Christmas Day. You're so excited just to unwrap all the new presents for your teams. Curious your opinion on everyone's, you know, obviously excited about the QBs every year in a draft, and I think most are expecting them to go 1, 2, 3 in this draft, depending on what happens, maybe some trades, whatever. But after that, how many QBs do you see going in round one? And are you a believer in this J.J. McCarthy hype? I just ask because I'm certainly one that I just don't get it.
Yeah, I'm definitely a believer in the hype, but I also agree with you. I don't get it. Because I would much rather take him in the middle to the back end of the first round or in the second round because he's such a project. There's a lot of throws that he's got on film that are tremendous because he's a very gifted athlete, but he doesn't have enough real tangible tape to prove that he's somebody who's going to handle himself effectively and well when the game is on the line, when he needs to drive the ball down the field, when the rest of the team is struggling, he needs to be the guy that wins the game for them. But I think that we've gotten to this point where, and I'm buying the hype, I think that NFL teams get desperate. I think the Minnesota Vikings especially, or the Denver Broncos, could be very desperate that they don't have a solution at quarterback for the long-term future, that they're going to trade up and swing and go and get him. Especially pretty clear that that move's going to happen to some team because the Vikings went and acquired that second first-round pick. That was very, very telling. But to answer your question of how many I think go in the first round, the more that I've thought about it recently, because I get asked this question a ton, I really don't think that we're going to get more than 4. We might get 5, but we don't really have much evidence or history of teams or drafts, rather, where there have been more than 4 quarterbacks, let alone 3 quarterbacks, taken in the top 15 or in the first round. It just doesn't happen often. I think a lot of times when the top group goes off the board, there's a little bit of a tier break for these teams on their draft boards, and they're not going to be super aggressive in trading up to go and get a quarterback just because they need one. Teams, I think more than ever, if they're not in love with a guy, they're not going to force it, and it's better for the long-term future of a quarterback if he's not forced into a situation where the team isn't excited to have him.
Joe, looking at the Saints at pick 14, I think the overwhelming majority of folks think that they're going to take an offensive tackle. So the good news for Saints fans is there are a ton of guys that are going to go in that range, generally from, you know, maybe the 10 spot with the Jets to around where they're picking at 14, maybe a little bit further down the board to Seattle at 16. I was kind of like messing around with a little bit of a mock, and I had 6 offensive tackles going in the top 18 picks. And some of those guys that keep popping up around the Saints at pick 14 – are guys like, you know, Olufoshanu and, you know, Tulisa Fuanga, Troy Fautanu from Washington, just all these really elite prospects. Even J.C. Latham at points sometimes drops to 14 as well. So I want to get your thoughts on these guys. So we're going to start with, I guess, the first name that I mentioned, with Olufoshanu, the left tackle from Penn State.
Yeah, I really like Fashanu. I think that he is probably the most natural pass protector in terms of his movement ability out of any of the guys. The only thing I have a little bit of pause on him, and he's still a first round player for me in a top 15 pick. The only pause that I have is he was really inconsistent in the run game. He wasn't really driving guys off the ball with good leg drive and power the way that you need a tackle to do so. But he does exactly what you're looking for in a tackle, which is just being really fluid and easy in his kick set. He plays really with really good flexibility. He doesn't really allow a lot of guys to get around him because he moves so easily. He'll be one of those dudes who in the first couple of years tests and grades really well on PFF as a pass protector, and then maybe it doesn't really look so great as a run blocker. He kind of reminds me of Andrew Thomas from Georgia a few years ago who has been great for the New York Giants. So I think he's one of those players that just is super steady and ends up being a really good pro. Maybe doesn't find himself in the top three, top five tackles in the NFL, but just ends up being a really consistent player for whatever team takes him.
And then another guy that's really intriguing, a Senior Bowl prospect, and we know the Saints love their Senior Bowl guys, Talisa Fuanga from Oregon State, who is almost like the inverse. Like, not only does he play on the right side versus the left side with Olu, but this guy's just a mauler. What are your thoughts on Talisa?
Yeah, I love Fuanga. He is so physical. And sometimes when you're talking about here him being the inverse, a lot of people, you know, they see this big hulking guy who almost has no neck, and he runs people over in the run game, and he's always looking for contact, and he's trying to bury dudes. You almost think that, oh, he must not be very good at moving. He must be just a head-first type of a guy. He must be a lunger. But, man, he moves. He can get to the second level in a hurry. He really does well in space. He might not be as flexible as some of the other players that we could be seeing in this tackle class, but I'm a really, really big fan of him. I really don't think that he's going to be on the board at 14. I really think a team is going to be aggressive in trying to go after him as soon as Joe Alt is selected.
Yeah, I think that he could be potentially the second guy off the board. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just saying, curious on Joe, what you think about Bill Barnwell recently put out an article, ESPN, every team making a trade in the first round of this draft, and he's got the Saints getting pick number 5 from the Chargers, but giving up the 14th overall selection in round 1, number 45 in round 2, and shipping off Trevor Penning. Your thoughts on that? Just curious even if the Chargers would consider that.
Well, is the idea for them, I would assume, to trade up to go and take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is that kind of what the thought process is there?
I think it would be for Joe Alt, the franchise kind of left tackle, okay, the best tackle of the class, you know, if they really, really right, fall in love with him out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I my only problem with that is they just did this a couple of years ago with Trevor Penning, and it didn't work out. And I don't think that past failures – I'm not saying that Penning is a failure, but just yet. Past lack of success shouldn't sway your decision that aggressively. But I just get really worried about making an aggressive trade-up like that for – a tackle when there's so many good tackles in this class. Sure, you don't get the all pro in Joe Alton. Instead, you end up with Olu Fashanu or a Marius Mims who are equally gifted, or JC Latham. I think that it is much more beneficial to keep as many picks as you can, because you're a team that right now needs to build and find more starters, because you're supposed to be in a win now scope. Because you're paying Derek Carr all this money, you need to be in a position to win. So losing draft capital, I don't know if it seems like a little bit too aggressive to me. I also don't think the Chargers are going to trade out there. I really think that the Chargers are acknowledging that they're in a premier spot, and if they can end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt, they're going to be pretty happy with themselves.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting spot for them. I think that maybe then Arizona could be a spot to trade down. Like, everyone thinks that Minnesota is going to be the team to trade up into those top 5 picks to jump, you know, the Giants and secure J.J. McCarthy, basically, with a top 5 pick. If they don't trade down, if the Chargers don't, I think it could make a little bit of sense for them if they move from 5 to 11 and then also maybe get 23, and they can still lock down a really solid tackle at the 11th pick and then maybe get a really solid receiver at 23. It makes some sense to me. Meanwhile, with Arizona, who's rebuilding their roster, kind of like you said, they have a huge need at receiver, so Marvin Harrison makes a lot of sense. But also dangling, you know, 11, 23, and also already having 27, that's 3 picks in the top 27 picks of the 2024 draft. That is pretty enticing as well.
Yeah, that's really bonkers for me. I remember my last mock draft that I did about a month ago. That was what I projected. And man, if I'm the Cardinals, it is exciting to have the ability to pick between those two options of taking Marvin Harrison Jr. or of getting all those 3 first-round picks. I would lean, though, if I'm the Cardinals, it does way more for your team when your team is so barren of talent and you're needing just to fill any position to figure it out except quarterback. To have 3 first-round picks in a year where the first-round talent is elite – and it's probably the best that we've seen in a long period of time, and especially knowing that next year's draft is not looking as gifted, and you're not going to be able to find as many good players. Having 3 first-rounders lets you take some swings, lets you take some shots, some guys that are maybe a little more boom or bust. So, man, the Cardinals, if they can make that trade happen, that would really set them up for some serious long-term success.
It just feels like a win-win to me. And I know that you are missing out on Marvin Harrison Jr., who is a defensive coordinator's nightmare. And so that does sting a little bit, but this is also a wide receiver class that is super, super deep. But before we get to that, I want to actually circle back around. We were talking a little bit earlier about offensive tackles. That last guy that I mentioned, Troy Fautanu, who I think is going to maybe go a little bit higher than people expect. I've seen him mocked a lot to Seattle, but I think there's a couple fits in those early teens where a lot of teams would be really happy with someone like Troy Fautanu, who's versatile, is a great offensive tackle, and he can also play guard. He plays on the left side of the line. I think he's been great for Washington, and I really like him as a prospect.
Yeah, I really like him as a prospect too, and I think he projects best playing inside at guard. But he's not as big as we typically look for in a tackle prospect. He's a little bit under 6'4", I believe, but his length is requisite enough for if he did end up playing tackles. He really reminds me of Elijah Vera Tucker a little bit, not like a complete direct comparison, but he moves so easily. He is crazy, crazy flexible and explosive in short areas. I really do think that, as you're talking about, one, he could go higher than people expect, but two, if there's a guy in this offensive line group that we're talking about that ends up being just like a perennial all-pro, consistently just really dominant player that's always making the Pro Bowl, I really think that Troy Fautanu could be one of those guys.
Looking at the tight end position, obviously Brock Bowers, the main guy. Everybody's, you know, salivating over his abilities, but is he really worth a first-round pick early on, considering the history of tight ends that have been taken lately in the first round? It just seems a little scary when you look at the names taken, you know, recently that haven't panned out. Will Brock Bowers be able to break that mold?
Yeah, I think that you could almost make a connection in saying, just because some of these quarterbacks in the history haven't panned out, does it mean teams should avoid taking him in the first round? I think that Brock Bowers is so unique, you can't scare yourself out of picking him. He is very rare for a tight end prospect. He is one of these few guys that runs in the 4.5s, 4.6s, linearly just so hard to keep up with. Laterally, he changes direction really well. He is an amazing route runner. He is a yak killer. But more importantly, I think if he improves his blocking just a little bit, he's already got really good intent. He's physical. If he improves just a little bit, he could be, and he would be, the most well-rounded tight end in the NFL in short time. I really like Brock Bowers, and I don't think any team that needs a tight end should scare themselves out of it. I don't think he'll make it past 10. I really think that the Jets are the best chance for him to find early success, and they really need a premier playmaker like him in order for them to finally get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm 100% in agreement with you. I just see all these mocks that have him falling to like the middle of the first round, and I just think if he's there at pick 14, it's almost a win-win for the Saints, because you either draft a guy like Brock Bowers, you have no one. Mike Dettillier says this all the time. You have no one on your offense like Brock Bowers, so you either take him there, and then you kind of address the tackle situation later on in the second round, or you can trade out of that 14th spot and move down to a team that really wants them. Maybe, you know, Cincinnati or one of the teams in the early 20s. Like, you don't have to move down 15 spots or anything like that in the first round of the draft, but you can move down a couple spots and accumulate more picks so that's not a huge gap in between the 45th overall pick in the second round and 150 in the fifth.
And I also think for the Saints' case, if they do talk themselves into it, right now they need weapons. You've got Chris Olave, and then you're kind of figuring out who that next option is. It's not exactly an enticing group. So you look at Brock Bowers, and if you evaluate him purely as a receiver, he'd be one of the better receivers in this class, one of the best receivers in this class. So any weapons are going to help the group. Brock Bowers would be a huge add. When we saw the lackluster offense from last year, anything is going to help. And when you have an elite, rare talent like Brock Bowers, you can't pass up on him or what you just mentioned. Let another team get really juiced up and excited and go aggressively trade up for him. I think if he does slide past 10, somebody is going to panic and freak out and be like, oh my God, how is he still on the board? We have to trade up and go get him. And then accruing more of that capital is only going to help a team like the Saints.
I just don't think that he falls past 15. And so a team that would want to jump the Colts, because I think the Colts would take them in a heartbeat, given, you know, Anthony Richardson, and that would be a great kind of safety blanket for a young quarterback that has struggled with accuracy issues in his collegiate career. We didn't see too much of him before he got injured. That pick makes so much sense to me for the Colts at 15. So if any team really wants to jump Indianapolis, that would be the spot. So I think it's a pretty interesting idea. But as you said, I think that, you know, the Jets have a decision to make. Either they go Bowers or maybe they go offensive line. I think that makes sense as well. But one other spot that really – we talked a little bit about the Chargers. We talked about the Cardinals as potential trade-down spots. There's another team in the top 10 that I think not a lot of people are really talking about as a potential trade-down spot, and that's the Falcons at pick 8. Like, if you're looking at the top 10 picks, a lot of people project, you know, 9 of the top 10 to be offensive players. The Falcons are the one team that could take a defensive player, and everyone expects them to take an edge rusher. So do they want Dallas Turner? Do they want Leatu Latu? Do they want Jared Verse? And if it's the case, do they think that they can move out of pick 8, get some more draft capital for themselves, and also still get their top edge rusher that they really like? I think that that could be a potential spot for them to trade out of.
Yeah, I think that the way that you describe that is on point for the Falcons. They're going to be able to pick the first edge rusher that they want at 8. And it seems like one of the worst kept secrets this whole process is that they really love Dallas Turner, and that would be who they end up picking. But I'm in favor of what you just described to me. Any time, especially in this year's draft, when there is a lot of really good players in the second and third round, and then the later rounds it's not so good, I really think that if you're a team that just missed the playoffs and you made a big move, or you're really close to getting there, you should trade back. You should trade back and get more picks in the second round, in the third round. If you can get another one in the first round, that is a home run, because you just need starters. You don't need an all-pro. You don't need a Pro Bowler. You need above-average starters to great starters, and you need as many of them as possible. And a team like the Falcons fit that description, and they're not really going to get a drop-off if they do trade back and they take Jared Verse. Or Leatu Latu is really refined and technically sound, and he would be a great player. It might even better position them, as you're talking about here. You trade back, you take Leatu Latu, and then in the second round you could take Darius Robinson from Missouri. There's just so many more options and directions that they could go in if they do move back.
That is a scary prospect for Saints fans if they were to get both of those guys. Darius Robinson, I'm really high on. Like, I remember his comments at the Senior Bowl where he said he was the best defensive lineman in the draft. I know you remember that, Joe. So he's not lacking in confidence, and his versatility on the defensive line is fantastic. So, yeah, no, I don't think Saints fans would like to hear that, Joe, but it would be very great for the Falcons. But looking at the edge class, everyone's got a different opinion. Like, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Leatu Latu are basically everyone's top three guys, but it seems that they're in different orders a lot of the time. So what's your kind of thoughts on the edge rusher class?
Yeah, that is my top three, and then I do think that there is a pretty big tier break after those top three guys. Right now my current ordering is Dallas Turner, and then Leatu Latu, but then we kind of come into this difficult conversation, not difficult conversation, but more so guys that are a little bit less fully rounded, that might not be as high impact or have the ability to develop into a 15 sack guy, but rather are just really strong, consistent edge rushers on teams, like Darius Robinson, who's my number six guy. I really like Chris Braswell from Alabama. And then another name that's underrated is Austin Booker from Kansas. He looked really good at the Senior Bowl. I don't think he's gotten really a ton of love throughout this process, but I think that Booker is explosive in short areas and could be a really nice secondary option for a team that is looking for that type of a player.
Sticking on the defensive side real quick, Joe, just your impressions of a guy out of Texas, Byron Murphy, who's expected, I would think, to be the first DT off the board. Do you think that could be someone maybe the Saints could consider at 14, if not offensive tackle?
Yeah, I would much rather wait until the second round to take Byron Murphy. I think he's a good player. I think he's very disruptive because he's so low to the ground and he's really strong. But 14's a little too high for me. I know that some NFL pundits are Daniel Jeremiah is one of them that really likes him to the point where they think that he's going to go in the top 20. But me personally, I'd rather wait a little bit longer. But he's a good football player. He's a really good defensive tackle that could be a strong starter. For me, if I'm going to take a defensive tackle at 14, it would have to be Jerjon Newton from Illinois, who I just think is far more consistently and tangibly disruptive and problematic for offensive lines to keep up with. But I think both, again, are very good football players. Just depends on which direction that they want to go in.
Joe, definitely appreciate the time as always. Hopefully this is another exciting draft. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds starting Thursday night a week from today.
For sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst. You can check him out on the Believe Podcast Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.